There is the ability to have some a la carte services tied to that. So an individual that takes advantage may be in a situation where they only want to take advantage of the application because they have the appropriate resources to be able to do the event management and the services provided. Some other institution may want to take advantage of both. So we're looking at those options to be able to choose that as we proceed forward. And that's really the only additional items I had to add, Renee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Did anybody else on the call from our side want to speak to anything that's really important that you wanted to add? Please feel free to do so.
Hi, it's Danny Miller. One of the key things for us is it's not a one size fits all. To Brad's point, there's going to be a lot of a la carte, but the use cases could be widely variable. So we could have smaller, more specialized conferences that focus on one particular area. They're not going to be really huge, but they could be gathering attendees from everywhere. And then there are those use cases where we would have a very large venue where we'd have lots of internal and external people, vendors providing content, presenting, and stuff like that. So it's a wide variable of what we're looking for. That's it.
Thanks, Danny. Anybody else on our side would like to mention anything that's important? Okay. I think I hear someone.
It's just me, Renee. What I was going to say, if we're done internally.
Yeah, I think so. I think really at this point, if they have some specific questions, we'd be able to answer those.
I can ask a question.
Great.
This is Logicalis. So you guys obviously have Cisco WebEx. We're on it right now, which is a video conferencing platform. Is this something that you're looking to replace WebEx with? Is this something that you're looking to integrate WebEx with, expand upon WebEx? I'm just curious how your current WebEx subscription ties into what you're asking for. Or if it,
sure,
if
that's
it
a great
applies
question.
At all.
That's a very good question. It's something in our research that we have found WebEx consistently doesn't have the API needed. So far, that's the information that we've been provided. And we have met with several vendors who offer their own service and several vendors who Zoom is part of the package and some where we might have to contract something with Zoom. So it's not that we are expecting to leverage WebEx in this process. We're open if WebEx can facilitate that and it can be a part of it. Obviously, that's a win for us because we already have that license, but we are open to others as well.
And just to note, we have some of our members have Zoom licenses, some of them have Teams licenses,
yes.
Some have WebEx. So you're probably going to find just about everything that out there.
Exactly. Thank you, Danny.
And Renee, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe we're trying to eliminate the Cisco WebEx licenses that
no.
we currently have now.
No.
This really is more of a supplemental because there might be many cases where someone doesn't need this platform for what they're wanting. They can simply
correct.
Just, like this morning, just create a WebEx and go, or create a Zoom and go. This is more and beyond just that simple video call.
That is correct. Thank you for the clarification.
This is Stephen Peck. I joined late, so I may have this question may have already been addressed, but it's related to the gentleman's question just before me. Would Texas A&M consider a solution that leverages Zoom for the panelists and the presenters and have the attendees join a live streaming player?
Yes, that is an option. We are open to that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
If I may ask just another related question to that, are there requirements in terms of optimizing the video delivery within campus sites? So meaning, just to clarify, just if there's a very, very large event, like a large webcast, and there's expected thousands or tens of thousands of participants to prevent network congestion, is that a, just wanted to see if that's a requirement.
Right, I believe that is in the live. I'm looking right here. We have that listed, the optimization. It may be, I'm looking to see if it's required or we have under optimization. Yes, that is listed under the requirements.
Gotcha, thank you.
Thank you.
It could very well be that because of the kind of where we're geographically located,
mm-hmm.
and the congregation of that, of you know, attendees, either physically and virtually,
mm-hmm.
that could impact you. So you're right, yeah.
Gotcha, thank you.
Mm-hmm. What other questions can we answer?
Hi, my name is Stacy. I'm a hub here in Texas, and I just want to get some clarification around that hub subcontracting plan. So if we are an existing hub already, did I hear this correctly? I also still would need to create this hub plan and try to bring in someone else, or how does that hub subcontracting plan works if you're already a hub?
That is correct, because it's exactly what you just said. It's a subcontracting plan. So it's all about subcontracting. So whether or not the prime responding to the RFP is a hub is not relevant to this plan. It's about inclusion of hub vendors, hub subcontractors within your scope, within your team, within your project to provide those opportunities to them. Now that doesn't mean that if it isn't within your need, your business model to subcontract out anything, we're not requiring that. You can, in essence, self-perform if you truly can. But if you can't, and you're gonna have to include subcontractors to provide some service or some good that is outside of your resources, then you have to go through this effort and document that. So the plan itself, the document itself are required from every respondent in order to be considered. And I would just say that if you have questions beyond that regarding this, I would reach out directly to me so we can discuss how to complete that. But yes, it is required of everyone.
Very good. Thank you.
I have a quick question on platforms. Sort of given the wide range of types of events that may need these services, are you looking for submissions to include a single platform or a suite of platform options to solve for the types of virtual event needs that may come up?
That's a good question. I don't think, Brad, that we actually entertained,
we kind of made an assumption,
I think, but yeah.
I would say both. So,
is good.
Yeah, each vendor is going to have different capabilities. So, if you are a vendor that has the capability of providing multiple platforms or making multiple platforms available that can fit the spectrum of what is needed, as well as the services to back that, then that's perfectly acceptable as a proposal. If you are a vendor, and what we've seen so far are typically an event management organization works closely with one potential application, or at least focuses on a primary one, and that's where they have the most experience. So if you're a vendor that is in that situation and really there's a single platform and services and you're focused on maybe the larger events that may take place, that would be acceptable as a proposal as well. We're going to look at all of them. And again, that's why we're saying we may award more than one as part of this so that we can cover that spectrum. And it could be a single vendor. If you can do it all, that's a possibility as well.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And the reason that I was asking is just because the technical requirements list is super robust, and it kind of, you know, includes every single requirement that isn't usually solved by one platform, but that many platforms can solve. And I assume that the use cases within your organization would be that they would need a subset of these requirements. So that was kind of where my question was stemming from. And then kind of similarly related to that, from a pricing perspective, is it acceptable for us to provide ranges for these platforms versus a single monetary value, just because they kind of range and they're all over the board when it comes to pricing?
That would be acceptable. What we would want to understand as part of that price, what comes into play to determine those ranges.
Yeah, and that's included there in that one section. It talks about it. We need to know exactly how that's going to be determined so that we can clearly understand those projections.
All right, thank you.
What else can we answer for you guys?
If there are no other questions.
If I'm muted, sorry. I'm sorry. Am I unmuted now? Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, my name is Jim Bennett. I just one quick question for the panel before we conclude today's meeting. And it refers to the functionality of, call it playback or the archiving of live events.
Okay.
Is it preferred by Texas A&M to have, call it sim live or simulated live functionality from the audience in an on-demand playback? And by that I mean Q&A, chat, gamification. Is the functionality preferred if an event is provided to your audience after the fact, or would you prefer as an organization to have it solely as a call it a recorded playback?
Right. I can speak from our organization's perspective. Others might have a different opinion and desire, but we typically, our audience always wants to be able to go back and revisit the material. So for us, it's not as important that you have the live play of the Q&A and the live feel to it, but that the content is available afterwards. I don't know if anybody else on the call wants to speak to that.
Yeah, we definitely will want that, because especially if it's something technical where we're going to need to provide content back to audience or people that attended, both from a vendor perspective. If a vendor attends in a conference, we want their material and content available, and then presentations and other things like that made available afterwards as well.
Thank you for that response. My last question, maybe as a supplemental, is there a requirement, and I didn't see it in the RFP, for an accreditation or a certificate to be awarded for attendance? I did see gamification, but nothing about actual accreditation.
Yeah, continuing education credits and stuff. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would say that that's a requirement, because we've got lots of people with lots of certs. And then we're going to need to be able to prove or provide them with proof that they attended and that it meets the criteria for the continuing education units.
Thank you.
I was just trying to look and find that. I'm sorry, I can't find it directly in the RFP that I could point you to. But yes, our group as well does the CPE credits. And so we get questions a lot about that. And so that is something that we did include in there as well.
One more question, if we have a minute. I think I saw something in the requirements that mentioned payment options or payments services. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Is that also a definitive requirement, or is that
somewhere else? What we're looking for there is some vendors during the registration process, that is how they do it. The payment goes through their system. And so we want to ensure that there's an acceptable process for remitting that payment back to the Texas A&M University system. However, others, you employ your own third-party vendor, and then that money's coming through our account directly. So it's flexible. We just want to make sure that we're clear on how the vendor does the registration process and how that payment then is remitted back to our organization. Does that answer your question?
It does. Understood. Thank you.
Okay.
I just wanted to provide a quick clarification, Jim, to your question regarding CE tracking and certificates. It is listed on page 12 of the RFP under On Demand. So if you need any additional information, it's there.
If I may ask one question, I may be oversimplifying it, but would it be fair to say that the RFP addresses needs for external facing events where participants can large, the majority of participants may be folks that are outside the system, as well as events that are primarily intended for internal audiences, meaning students and faculty?
So there's a varying need there. Many of the organizations that are here and on the call are doing internal events for system employees, but we also have a lot of collaboration with other universities and agencies across the state. So I know that Danny Miller is working on something that he discussed yesterday. So Danny, you may want to speak to that. His question.
So this is what I term a use case. So the use case would be where we've got all our information security officers inside the A&M system, but also all the information security officers from other institutes of higher education and other state agencies that would be in attendance. So those would be outside people. In addition to that, we would also think that we would get vendors like Cisco or others that would present and be a part of that, maybe even sponsor, want to do those kinds of things. So it would be, that use case would involve lots of internal, but also lots of external and seemingly unrelated even, technical vendors like a Cisco or a Palo Alto or somebody like that would participate as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I see we have a question in chat. Jason's asking if there's a preferred LMS or several that require API integration. So, Jason, I'm not sure if you're referring to what we're calling the vendor platform, the delivery platform, as your learning management system. If so, then we earlier had mentioned that we are open to flexibility of multiple platforms due to the varying needs across our members. So I'm not quite sure if that answers your question.
Yeah, and to further clarify that, across the system, there are multiple LMSs that are utilized.
Right.
So there isn't a single one, there isn't a preferred at this point in time. It varies greatly across the system.
These are all very good questions. Anything else?
And we still have time for questions, so don't feel rushed. I think I penciled this in for an hour, so feel free, if you do have questions, speak up, please.
I noticed that the RFP referred to streaming, that term, terminology. But I just wanted to clarify if by streaming, the RFP is only looking for, things like HTTP streaming, such as, one unidirectional video, or if it could actually be a blend of the streaming technology based delivery, as well as non-streaming platforms like Zoom webinar or similar platforms. Those aren't strictly streaming.
Right.
I think what we're looking for there is just the ability to provide a streaming service for us as one of the options, given the fact that part of the feedback we were getting was that our current WebEx application did not have an API that was supported by any of the platforms we had researched. So this was concerning for us. So we wanted to make sure that that was part of the service or part of the contract. I'm sorry, proposal. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Just in terms of the events, I did see that there was a requirement for 24/7 support. However, to optimize the cost proposal, would it be fair to say all the events originate from the United States, or is that completely and not incorrect? That it could originate overseas?
Yeah, no, they will originate from the United States.
Okay, thank you.
One quick question for the panel. It'd be optimal for Texas A&M to have a single sign-on accessibility, or would you be looking to have unique webcast hosts or presenters, call it organizers, to have their own unique logins to be able to track activity? What would be ideal?
I think given that some of our conferences will have outside users, that we're not looking, unless I'm misunderstanding the question, we're not looking for the single sign-on. We would be looking for they register and get their own unique credentials to sign in is what we're looking for.
Okay.
So from a security standpoint, I don't want to say 10,000 user ones registered.
Right.
I'd like to have unique stuff because the danger here, as everybody's probably aware, on Zoom bombing and stuff, one of the ways in which we try to defeat that, or at least minimize the possibility of it, is to force everybody to go through registration process, and you have to be let into that event. In other words, somebody's a gatekeeper to make sure that you are who you say you are.
Right, approved access. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
We're also looking for a level of personalization as well for notifications and emails that are going out. I do want to mention that I did neglect one of our campuses is in Qatar, and it is that's a potential that they would like to deliver a conference. So one of you asked the question about originating outside of the United States. So that is, I guess, actually a possibility. I don't want to exclude that. We've not had conversations with this group, but they would definitely be these contracts would be available to them as well. So I just wanted to edit the answer to that one question.
Thank you. On that same note, in addition to the campus in the Middle East, these days there's a lot of activity with China. Is there an expectation to deliver in China? Because that definitely requires special capabilities to traverse the firewall in China?
I would say not at this time. We don't have any data to support that we would be doing that. Our focus, I would say you're generally looking at focusing in the United States and primarily within Texas at this point, but two other places. We do have a lot of collaborations outside of Texas, but I'd say that is our primary focus.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're likely going to have lots of people from Asia attend, especially if it's a research related type of an event, but it would like 99% chance it's going to be hosted here in the States.
Understood. Yeah.
Yeah. Lydia, we can't hear you right now.
I didn't hear you now.
Yeah.
Okay. On the accessibility features on here, what's important, but Renee had mentioned that it's important to have the cart services, but not only that, but being able to have your application be accessible. So it's twofold. One is a user and one using the product on here. So we actually look at it from both sides. So it's important that the accessibility information for the accessibility conformance report provides how accessible your product is. And if it isn't, then provide a workaround so that we know what we need to do to make it accessible for others. Thank you.
Thanks, Lydia.
So Lydia, there is, and I think I remember seeing it, there was the mention of a VPAT requirement in the RFP, right? Okay. That's one
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Good. Thank you.
Anything else?
There was a question submitted in the chat. I don't know if it was addressed already about there being a preferred LMS.
Yes. Yes, we talked about that earlier. And okay. Brad spoke to that we have several different LMSs used across the system.
Okay.
And then we have another question from Sam.
Yeah.
Sam says that he doesn't believe the VPAT template was included in the RFP, Jeff. He's asking where they can find that document.
Lydia, I believe we provide a link in there. Is that correct? Do you recall?
There is a link that provides that, but I'd be happy to forward it to you, Jeff, just in case it's not available.
Okay. So we'll check on that.
Yeah, if you can't find that, reach out to Jeff. Okay, Jeff, that may be all the questions we have. You want to cover next steps or what would you like to?
That's really about it. If there's no other questions, okay. You know, next steps obviously is, you know, we kind of went over the calendar of events already. And for us, that is the next step is just to get through this process. You know, once we have all the responses in and we've passed the due date, we go through our due diligence and reviewing to make sure everything's submitted accordingly. There's an evaluation committee that reviews all the responses and we go through that process. Potentially could have presentations or demonstrations requested to see some of the solutions. So the next steps aren't completely defined as it really depends on what all we get for proposal submissions.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you putting this on so that we could answer the questions for our group today.
And again, if there's more questions after today from anyone, you know, please submit those via email to my email address. It's listed there in the RFP. And I will share those with Renee and team to get all those answered as quickly as possible. And we do share all of those questions and answers in an addendum that is posted. So everybody will have access to that.
Will you also share a list of the attendees today?
I do not have a list of attendees. It's not captured other than possibly name, which not all everyone puts in names. And I don't have any contact information for those. So that's not something that I have.
Okay.
I have to apologize here. I typically try to put a recording of this out there on our website as well for those who couldn't or would like to go back to for reference purposes. I forgot to start recording at the beginning, but I did start recording before we got to the question and answer. So we will make it available after this, but I do apologize. The entire content will not be on it.
When you view the recording, I believe you'll be able to see participants by name, but it won't necessarily be by company. And as you said, some of them say call-in users, so it's hard to know who that is.
This would, that would be resolved if we had a platform to use, right?
That's right. That's right.
That was going to be
well,
my
when
joke.
When people sign in, they can put their name there. Yeah. So. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jeff. I appreciate everybody's attendance today. We look forward to the proposals that come in. So I guess we'll sign off. All right.
Thank
thanks,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.